It is good to be here this morning. Good to see you here. And one would think that if one shows up for services, that they would be taking God seriously. We're going to be discussing taking God seriously this morning. But just showing up for attendance or being in attendance doesn't always mean that one is taking God seriously. Case in point, our text this morning, Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. We know that the book of Revelation was written to the seven churches in Asia Minor, written about things which must shortly come to pass. The things which Jesus himself said would come to pass in that generation, those to whom he spoke in Matthew 23 and 24. But in Revelation 3, 14, beginning, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The reason that this particular text was chosen is because this is a prime example of a group of brethren meeting together in a location that did not take God seriously. It's just one example of those in the Word of God who are falling into the trap of becoming lackadaisical, not taking God or His Word seriously. When we look into the Word of God, we need to understand that God has given us that Word to guide our lives, to help us to make it from this point in our lives to be with Him for eternity. To not focus on the Word of God and to not do what God has commanded is not taking God seriously. All that God ever requested or commanded has had a distinct purpose. There is not a single commandment that God gave to man to see if man would do it. Every commandment he gave, every precept that he set, had a purpose, a distinct purpose. All that God has commanded for man has been for the good of man. Oftentimes people think, well, the Word of God is a little restrictive. Man needs to be restricted. Man needs to be cautioned. Man needs to be warned. Man needs to take God seriously. Even the commandment to his Old Testament people have benefits for us in that they are an example for us. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 tells us this. As the Apostle Paul was directed to write to those Roman brethren, said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Oftentimes as we look back in history, we do so that we don't make the same mistake. When we look at God's people, yes, it was a different law, but it's still the same God. He still had commandments. He had a select group of people, those who were his people, and he directed them through his word. Yes, they are example. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. God's people are to be a serious people. Let's look at a few examples from the Old and the New Testament so we can see this to be a case. In Ezra chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, we'll find a situation that existed in which Israel had flat out disobeyed God. Now, that's not the only time. That's not the only place. But Israel in this particular time, in Ezra chapter 10, verses 1 and following, we'll see that they were required to put away their unlawful wives and children because of the seriousness of Ezra's message. Oftentimes people would look at this and say, well, you know, I was told that God hates divorce. Notice that I said these were unlawful wives. In Ezra chapter 10, verse 1, "Now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, and the sons of Elam answered and said unto Ezra, We have trespassed against our God, and we have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing." So we will understand the situation. God has specifically and directly told Israel, do not marry these people. Do not marry this group of people, because this group of people are not my people. They don't worship me. They don't follow me. They don't recognize the authority of God, and they will draw you away from God. But what had they done? They had gone and done exactly opposite of what God had said. Now, verse 3, we see where the hope is. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives such and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Notice that God was not asking them through Ezra to do anything that he had not already said not to do. He said, don't marry these people. When they did marry these people, when they had children of these people, he said, these wives and these children have to be put away. They did these things. Why? Because they began to take God seriously, at least at that particular point in time. It had come to their attention that God had given them a law, and they had broken that law. And when they realized and understood that they broke that law, they sought repentance. Aaron, in Leviticus chapter 10, we won't go and read the whole section there. We're very familiar with Nadab and Abihu and the sin which they participated in. Aaron was told after the death of Nadab and Abihu to hold his peace. Why? Because Nadab and Abihu, by their own choice, by their own volition, took strange fire, fire that God had not authorized, and carried it into the temple and used it. And fire from heaven destroyed those two sons of Aaron. These people were to be a serious people. They were to follow the word of God. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13, we will see that God was very specific. The Spirit had the writer of Proverbs in that location to write, whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. Ah, but there is hope. Because the last part of that says, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Israel had commandments. They had edicts from God as to how to live their lives, as to what to do. And of course, they were to be blessed by God because they feared the commandment. They followed the word of God. They took God seriously. In short, this is saying, take God seriously. Let's move to the New Testament for just a second. In Acts chapter 5, we're all familiar with Acts chapter 5, and in a few short weeks we will be there in our class period on Sunday mornings. We're going to talk about two particular people, and we're going to see in the events surrounding Ananias and Sapphira, God showed that he was serious. Again, we're not going to read the whole section because I have a lot to say today, and I don't want people to be feel like you're held here too long. So let's just summarize very quickly. Ananias and Sapphira had a piece of land, and they sold it. Because Barnabas had done that very thing and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, and they had a piece of land and they sold it. Yet they conspired to hold part of it back. It was within their power to hold it back. It was within their power to sell it. It was within their power to give the money to the church. But when they came, they said, here's all we got for the land. No, that was not the truth. And because of this, when Ananias was questioned about it, he lied. And when he lied, he died. Take God seriously. Now, God is not dealing with man today in that same way. But just a few short hours later, Sapphira came in. She was asked the question. Yes, she lied also. And she died. The same people that carried her husband out and prepared him for burial did the same thing for her. And then in verse 11, we see this. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Friends, the Bible teaches that God is not mocked. We are to take him seriously. We reap whatsoever we sow. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, we see that the Thessalonian brethren were serious. All of the brethren, all of the people of God are to be serious. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. There should be a reason for us to thank God for the brethren, for brethren in other places. And this particular situation, we're told why Paul was thankful for these brethren. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. When God spoke, through the Apostle Paul to these brethren, they received it as the word of God. He was speaking as the oracle of God. And this word of God effectually worked also in them that believed. It's important to understand how serious they were. James chapter 1 and verse 21 tells us how Christians are to act. We know that the Bible is full of places that tell us how we are to react, how we are to act as children of God if we are serious. These particular people in this general epistle were told, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Lay apart all filthiness. Lay apart even the appearance of evil. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If it looks evil, if it walks like evil, it's evil. Get rid of it. Put it away. And do what? Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be serious about God. You know, God's people are to be serious about all of life, but worship is a big part, or should be a big part, of every Christian's life. Christians are to be serious about God's, about worship. God's people, even in the Old Testament, were to be serious about worship. Malachi, nearing the end of the Old Testament, we see that the people were told to be serious about worship. They even asked the question, how have we despised his name? In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, Malachi was writing as directed by the Spirit, as all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And as the Spirit directed him, he wrote to Israel, God's people, and told them to be serious. We find there, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? This is God speaking. If I, God, am the father of Israel, where's mine honor? If I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Listen, when you don't take God seriously in worship, and you don't take God seriously in life, you're despising the name of God. They even were accused of polluting the worship. Why, Christians today, if you were to say to them, well, you polluted the worship, they'd say the same thing. How have we done that? Look at verse 7. He said to them there, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. We had the privilege, the honor, of being able to keep a commandment this morning and honor a request. That commandment was, upon the first day of the week, when you came together to break bread, then we are to do it in remembrance. This is the request. This do in remembrance of me. If we do it in any other way, we've made the table of the Lord contemptible. We've not taken God seriously. We have to take God seriously. The question that they ask, wherein have we polluted thee? And this is the answer you find in verses 8 and 9 of Malachi chapter 1. Notice, if you will, he looks at several different avenues under that old law which constituted worship. And if ye offer blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? It is clearly stated within the law of Moses that when they brought a sacrifice, it was to be the first, the best that they had. It was not to be some cast off, something that was blind, something that was born with a defective eye, a blemish. He asked them the question, if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Man, you have this flock. And of course, flocks move around, and you have to move the herds and the flocks so that they can graze and that sort of thing. And you see this one, and it's limping. And you say, well, that's no good to me. It'll bring nothing on the market. What are we going to do with it? Oh, I tell you what, let's just sacrifice it. Now, let's read the rest of it. Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? If you offer it to the civil authorities, would they accept it? Every year in April, I guess some of you folks get a tax refund, but I end up having to pay money. And if I were to say to our government, well, I know that when this was all figured up, that I was supposed to pay $150, but I'm going to send you $15. How do you think they would react? I suspect I'd be contacted by the government. That's what he's telling them. Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Now look at verse 9. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons? In other words, you are responsible for your actions. You are responsible for your sacrifice. You are responsible for your service to God and your worship to God. And if you do not worship God as he has directed in his word, it's on you. Will he regard your person? I know a lot of people claim to be taking God seriously. And the basis of their seriousness with God is, you know what? My family has been Christians for 22 generations. Great. Wonderful. I'm glad you had the opportunity to be brought up as a child, knowing the Holy Scriptures, which would make you wise unto salvation. However, what grandmama and grandpapa and all of these people back there, and even 22 generations back, what they did may have had some impact on the way you live, but it does not constitute your choice. And it does not constitute your worship and your service. We are responsible for our own. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, again we see this. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. These ideas that people have, oh man, I got to go to church. No, no, no. It should never be that way with Christians. We should take God seriously. He said for the Christians to meet upon the first day of the week, we should say, I get to go to services. I get the opportunity to go to Bible class. I get the opportunity to go to worship. I get the opportunity to hear the word of God, to raise my voice in praise to God. And I'm thankful for it. Behold, it is a weariness. Those particular people under that law, relative to what has already been said, in verse 13, the latter part says, ye brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick, thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? God does not want our leftovers. He doesn't want what is left over after everything else is paid, or whatever the case may be. I know oftentimes we say, you know, we bring our money. Everything belongs to God. Who's it going to be when we're gone? It won't be ours. We need to look at it the way God looks at it. He doesn't want our leftovers. He doesn't want our leftovers when it comes to money. The Bible does not say one Lord, one faith, one baptism, $1. I looked it up. It's not in there that way. We are clearly taught to take God seriously. He has blessed us with all things that pertain to life and godliness. Can we not set aside something for Him first? Same thing goes with time. Oh, I just don't have enough time in a day. Everybody's got the exact same amount of time. You've got the same amount of time that I do. I've got the same amount of time that you do. It is what we do with that time that makes the difference. I don't know what the percentage is. I think I preached a sermon on it one time. Somebody else did the math, and therefore I wasn't mistaken on it. Y'all know me in math. But percentage-wise, there is very little time that most Christians dedicate toward God. I don't know, 3 hours a week? 2 hours a week? 4 hours a week for a real zealous Christian? I think there's 162 hours in a week. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I'll look it up and let you know if it's wrong. Some of y'all will let me know if it's wrong anyway. That's okay. But do the math. You do the math. You're better at it than I am. What's the percentage? How much time do we devote to God? How much time do we devote to eating? Do the comparison there. And are we not being fed spiritually when we're here with God? What about our effort? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Heard that all my life. It is so true, especially when it comes to our service to God. We must take God seriously. We must put forth the effort. We must take the time. We must spend ourselves and our monies to serve God. How have we robbed thee? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, we see the answer. We see the question built in there as well. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. God has directed us as to what to do, how to live, how to worship, how to serve, how to take God seriously. Israel was being chastised because they'd gone away from God's ordinances. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. People say, oh, that's the Old Testament. If we turn to God, He will turn to us. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Israel as a whole had gotten to where they were holding back from God. I'll guarantee you, any time that they did not receive the blessings that they thought they should receive, they whined and cried and murmured. Why? God fed them the whole time they were in the wilderness. What'd they do? They griped. We're sick of manna. Wow. It's sustaining your life. So we want meat. So God gave them meat. What happened? Well, after they got through wading through the meat, because it was knee deep or whatever, they were sick of the quail. They couldn't be happy. They were to take God seriously. They were to do what God said to do. Look at verse 10 relative to those people and their worship and their service to God. He said through Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. No, we don't tithe today. Tithing's not taught in the New Testament. But giving is. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And to prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many of us go through our lives and say, you know, I didn't get anything out of worship? How much have you put into it? Same thing with giving. Often hear people say, I think everybody ought to give till it hurts. Nah, that's a wrong concept, wrong idea. When we give, it ought to feel good. That doesn't mean feel good out of our own selfishness and stinginess. Know that God has blessed us, every one of us, immensely. And we're to give to the work of the church so the work of the church can continue. But as we look at this in Malachi and Israel, that particular situation, how does this make God feel? People think God does not have feelings. Who do you think created feelings? Who do you think put feelings inside of man? Who do you think put emotion inside of man? God did. Look at Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2. As Malachi was directed by the Spirit, he wrote, "If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yeah, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart." What were they not doing? They were not taking God seriously. Why? Because they were not taking God's word seriously. People say, well, you know, the Bible is just a whole list, long list of suggestions. Really? That's what man has made it. Man has made it a list of suggestions. Some things that God say might be good to do if we want to worship, if we want to serve him. No, God has directed. He is guiding us. He is commanding us. Yes, there are requests. But we need to take God seriously. In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 10 again. "Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand." In other words, if we don't have the right attitude when we come together to worship, if we don't have love for God and love for his word and love for the brethren, we're not taking God seriously. What does God want? What does God want from us? Well, he's told us. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 16, those Hebrews brethren, those who were in danger of apostasy because the Judaizing teachers were coming and saying, "Oh, no, no, you've got to hold to the law as well. The Old Testament law." Well, that law had passed. These people were baptized into Christ. They became Christians. And the writer, the penman of Hebrews, directed by the Spirit, said in verses 15 and 16, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God." Listen, I want you to look down at your Bible right now. Continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Listen to prayers. Listen to public prayers. Listen to your own prayer. Hey, have you ever done that? You think, well, how can I listen to my own prayer while I'm praying? Yes, you can. You can think about what you're saying. You can analyze it, and I think we should. 9 times out of 10, we're saying, "Give me, give me, give me, bless me, bless me, bless me, hand me, hand me, hand me, provide me," or whatever the phraseology we use. And how many times do we thank God for what he's already given us, what he's already provided, what he's already blessed us with? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now notice verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased." We are to continually spread the word of God. Taking God seriously doesn't mean just when we come together in the building. It means throughout our lives. That's what God wants. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, we find the writer there, directed by the Spirit, writing, of course, to Israel. "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it." We read that and we say, well, you know, they made vows under that old law. Every person that is a child of God has made a vow to God. Every person that is a Christian has made a vow to God. We sometimes call it a commitment. We sometimes say we made a promise to God. Have we deferred to pay it? Are we taking God seriously? Now, in Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5, when thou vowest to vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. When we made that commitment to God, we promised him that we would love him, that we would serve him, that we would read and study and learn his word. I think that's one thing that people need to be taught when they obey the gospel, that you're making a commitment to God. What has God committed? Well, listen, he's already paid the price. He gave his son to die on Calvary's cross so that you and I could have the promise or the hope of eternal life. What was expected of the Levites? Let's narrow it down a little bit. Not just talking about all of Israel, just the Levites. Let's go back to Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. We'll see then that something was requested, required, commanded of them. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was him, or was with him of life and of peace. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. That's talking about respect, talking about honor, talking about serving God. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many from iniquity. Look at verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, that they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts, but ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore I also made you contemptible and base before the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. That's the Old Testament. That is Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. And people say, well, that's the Old Testament. You've not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Basically, he is saying to those people, you have kept part of the law. And a lot of times people think, you know, I'm doing most of what I should do. We love to watch Chip and Joanna on TV. And when things happen, sometimes he comes up with remarks. He jumped through a wall one time for whatever reason. I have no idea. Maybe because the camera was on. And she said, are you okay? And he said, I'm mostly all right. In other words, I don't think anything's broken. I'm skint and scarred and bruised. But I think that's the way a lot of times Christians look at God's word. I'm doing most of what God said to do. Is that taking God seriously? Now, let's go to the New Testament. Keep in mind what we just read about the Levites, the priests. Who are we? Are we taking God seriously? Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Look at this next phrase. And holy priesthood. Who's he writing to? The church. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, writing to you, Christians, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. In the Old Testament, we had the physical people of God. In the New Testament, you have the spiritual people of God. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You see, it's in Christ whereby we become priests. We become children of God. Well, how do we know that? Well, we go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We see then a situation that points out who Christians are, those who are taking God seriously. But ye are a chosen generation. Everybody wants to be chosen, don't they? Israel thought for many, many years, and some of them claim to be Jews now, think that they're the chosen of God. He's talking to the church here. Ye are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's the one point that everybody agrees on. They're weird. They're peculiar. They're strange. No, they're serious about God. Why? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That is why we ought to be serious about God, taking God seriously. What is expected of elders? Yeah, I know we're running out of time, and it's never stopped me before, and it won't today. What's expected of elders? Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, when Paul called those elders to Miletus, those Ephesian elders, he said to them words given to him by the Spirit to direct them, to show that they were taking God seriously. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What were they to do? They were to take God seriously. They were to feed the flock. The word of God must be preached. That brings us to the next point. What does God expect of preachers? What are preachers to do? What's the preacher's job? Well, the preacher's job is to preach. Nobody's going to argue about that. It's the preacher's job to evangelize, to call on people, to counsel people. And the list goes on and on and on. No, no, no. The Bible tells us what the preacher's job is. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Not to say that the preacher cannot contribute in other ways and should contribute in other ways. But 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2 tells us what the preacher is to do in taking God seriously. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, it's amazing to me, and I go on a lot of church websites, and I look, if they have an outline, I will read through the outline. Sometimes I borrow ideas. Many times I borrow ideas. And the Bible tells us there's nothing new under the sun. It's not like it's not been preached before. But a lot of times I listen, and I am appalled at how many seven scripture sermons there are out there. Somebody might say, well, you know, could you preach 30 minutes using seven scriptures? Yeah, you give me the seven scriptures and I'll start off with that. Can I preach for 30 minutes? I can talk 30 minutes about most anything. Might not be right. I might be able to stand up here and give you platitudes. I might become a motivational speaker. Rah, rah. Preach the word. Reprove. Rebuke. Nobody likes to be rebuked. Let the word do the rebuking. Preacher gets blamed for it. Boy, he told me off. No, 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 no. The word. Preach the word. Exhort. Build up with all long suffering and doctrine. What is expected of Christians? Hi, you thought you were going to get off, didn't you? The elders are expected, something of them or is expected to be serious to God. The preachers, something is expected of them to take God seriously. What is expected of all Christians? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. I'm going to stop right there. That means set God apart. That's what sanctify means. People think, well, I want to be sanctified. Well, we all do. We want to be set aside by God. When the time comes for him to set aside those who are going to spend eternity with him, I want to be in that number. But Christians are to sanctify or set apart God within their minds or their hearts. What does that mean? Put him first. Take him seriously. Every Christian, take God seriously. Put him first. Set him apart in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Every Christian should be able to explain to those in and outside of the church the hope that is in them, how that hope is achieved, how they too could have that hope. What is expected of families? You know, the Bible teaches many times about the parents bringing up the children and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and that is important. But how do you do that? Well, way back in the Old Testament again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, we'll find that God, in his infinite wisdom, told these parents what to do, how to take God seriously. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And you can tell I love the Lord because you can look on my bumper. I got a sticker that says, I love the Lord. No. Here's how you do it. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently. If you underline in your Bible, underline that. Teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And if I'm not mistaken, that covers the entirety of the day. What's he saying? He's saying, dwell in my word. What's he saying? He's saying, take God seriously. We look out upon the churches today, and we find, not just here, many other places, a disturbing situation where our young people, the number has gone way down. Some places say, well, we've got plenty of young people. Some people, places are blessed. They have young people. Hope they're taking God seriously as they're training those young people. Because those young people are the church of tomorrow. Families are to teach their children, not leave to the church. Families are to teach their children. Let's take God seriously. Let's not have the attitude of those in Malachi chapter 3, verses 3 through 15. Yes, this is dealing with Old Testament Israel, the people of God under that particular dispensation of time and under that law. But what did he say to them? The same thing applies to us today. He says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that ye have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. We look out on this world today and we think, you know, a lot of these places have grown into what man calls a mega church. They're religious people. I'm not going to argue that fact. They're very religious. They're very diligent people. But they're diligently wrong. They're not teaching the truth. And they're going to only prosper while they're here on earth. What message should we derive from what has been said today? Let's take God seriously. Let's fear him. Let's show him the respect that he deserves. Let's love him. Let's obey him. God was so serious that from before sin even reared its ugly head in the garden, God had a plan. From before the foundations of the world, there was a plan in place. God knew full well what man was going to do. All man had to be offered was the choice, the chance. You offer man a choice, he's going to take it. Kind of sounds like Yogi Berra, doesn't it? There's a fork in the road, take it. Which way are you going to go? That's your choice. That's what man does. Let's take God seriously. Let's fear him. Let's respect him. He was serious when he sent his son to die upon Calvary's cross to provide for the salvation that mankind desperately needed. He was serious when he told man what to do to be saved. What did he say? He said that man was to hear, Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Man is also to believe, Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Mayest what? Be baptized. See, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And he's answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus himself in Luke 13:3-5 said that we must repent. I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We're to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But it also takes every single step within the plan of salvation, including the next one, which is baptism. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Saul, who had become known as the great apostle Paul, was told, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Having done these things, yes, a person has stated to the world, has stated to those in attendance, that they are serious about God. Where's the proof? Oh, I heard, believe, repented, confessed, and was baptized. Great. You're now a child of God. I'm happy for you. The angels in heaven rejoice. But God was not finished with the plan when he stopped at be baptized. Because he furthermore said in various places to be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, he told the whole congregation this. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And we know this is language that is figurative. But what he told them next can be taken both figurative and literal. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. If you're a child of God, I'm so glad that you are. But I have one question for you. Are you taking God seriously? If you're not a child of God, I want you to take God seriously this morning. I want you to put on Christ in baptism. But if you are a child of God and you put on Christ in baptism, baptism for the remission of sins, and you're not taking God seriously, there's sin in your life. And sin is that which will separate between you and God. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, Simon was told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. This morning, are you taking God seriously? If not, it is time to do so. If you are a prodigal, you need to return as we stand and sing the invitation song.